And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the end of the 40-day season of Eastertide, and simultaneously at the end of the short 3-day penitential season of Rogationtide, we arrive at the great feast of the Ascension. And as you notice, the light of the resurrection paschal candle, which was lit at the Easter vigil, is extinguished at Ascension, of course not signifying that Christ has perished again or something, but that he has departed from us. The extinguishing of that candle reminds us that he has ascended into heaven, and we'll learn more things that you already know. He goes to prepare a place for us. It is not, as I heard just recently, someone equated it with the stripping of the altar on Maundy Thursday, a great devastating and sad moment when everything from the altar is removed. It's a misunderstanding of why the paschal candle is extinguished. It's extinguished and they depart continually in the temple, praising and blessing God in great thanksgiving and rejoicing. That's the spirit of Ascensiontide beginning today. We have something very astounding to contemplate on the Feast of the Ascension. We could probably deduce that the disciples, who were not prone to understanding anything readily in the scriptures, probably didn't fully understand what they were seeing at the Ascension. But there are a few things that we can be sure of. When Jesus first told his disciples in his farewell address to them, when he told them that he was departing from them, they, it seems, vehemently protested this idea. They were not excited about his departure from them. And with exasperation and undoubtedly great fear, St. Thomas even cried out, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" I think in his mind, these are rhetorical questions, and an exasperated state, the thought of Jesus leaving them. And he had to repeat again, "It is expedient that I go away." I don't believe that they believed him. They were not convinced until Easter Day. On Resurrection Day, the disciples were most thoroughly converted. St. Mary had once said to the servants at the wedding at Cana, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." She knew. And how grateful we are now that those servants took her advice at the wedding at Cana. But now on Easter Day, the disciples finally got the picture. If he tells you that he will return, he will. No one returns from a crucifixion, they thought, I'm sure. But Jesus said he would return, and how wonderful it would have been if they had just believed him. But now, with all the promises of Jesus that it would be better if he went away because the Holy Spirit would be sent in his stead, and this would be better, the followers of Christ are not unbelieving again at his ascension. Now they believe that what this man says must be true. If Jesus tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. "I will send another comforter to you." As their beloved resurrected Lord departed from them, the situation was this. It was not a dire situation. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Jesus had just left them, and they had great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. In the book of 1 Kings, Elijah was coming to the end of his earthly ministry, and his follower, his disciple, Elisha, followed him very closely. Elijah seems to test Elisha by trying to shake him off 3 times before he crosses the River Jordan and says, "You should leave me, you should leave me, you should leave me." Elisha will have none of it, and he crosses the river with Elijah. And Elisha there witnessed something incomprehensible, described but not understood. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into two pieces. You notice that Elisha, when he sees Elijah ascend, does not say, oh, I understand. He doesn't understand, but he sees the chariots of Israel, the fire and the whirlwind of God, and he takes his clothes and tears them down the center. Back then, it was not uncommon to tear your own clothes when something absolutely devastating or sacred or incomprehensible was happening. And what comes next? Elisha is granted a double portion of the Spirit of God, and the ministry of the greatest prophet of all time until that day was continued, passed on from Elijah to Elisha. What Jesus promises his followers concerning his departure and the coming of the Holy Spirit bears, you have to admit, an uncanny resemblance to that great event of centuries before. And surely not a few of the disciples of Christ wondered if this great prophecy was being fulfilled in Jesus' departure and the promise of the Holy Spirit. You can imagine that perhaps their great joy had something to do with expectation that what this Jesus had promised them would come true. But it's far more than just a fulfillment of Elijah's ascent and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Elisha. And this is what I'm not sure the disciples would have understood so readily. On ascension, we must stare into the skies as well with them, not because of what happened, but because of whom it happened to. Jesus Christ had come to redeem humanity in himself, and he had done so. He bound himself to us, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. The resurrected Christ is redeemed and glorified humanity. Who and what he is, so we become as we are incorporated into his life. It is this Christ, fully God, fully man, who ascends into heaven. And when he ascends into heaven, neither his body nor any other part of his humanity remains. In Christ, the human body is redeemed, the human mind is redeemed, the human will is redeemed. In Christ, we are redeemed. And when he dies, we die with him. When he rises, we rise with him. And when he ascends, he does not leave us abandoned. He blazes a path for us and opens the door. And we literally are heirs, family members in this heavenly place because of Christ. Soon we will ascend with him. That is his promise as well. The ascension of Christ is not a lesson in Newtonian physics. It is not a lesson in gravitational pull, aerodynamics, atmospheric pressure, cloud formation, space travel, or any of this. The ascension of Christ is as inexplicable as his conception, his miracles, his resurrection, and perhaps in the physical sense, the ascension is beyond explanation, but it's true. What this Jesus tells you is true. The disciples had come to know better than to trust their feeble mental calculations, and rather simply to believe. They learned it on Easter day, and we should too. Thomas's exasperated disbelief, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way, was an outburst that came right after the following words from our Lord, words that after his resurrection the disciples believed, words that no doubt echoed in the minds of his disciples as they saw him ascend, words that we are now meant to believe simply and joyfully. Just before Thomas's outburst, Jesus had said, let not your heart be troubled. you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When this Jesus tells you something, believe it. It's easier. It's quicker. It's more efficient. Let us, this Ascension Tide, this short season, before we turn to the coming of the Holy Ghost in just a week and a few days, let us stand in awe, look into the heavens, and see what has happened and to whom it has happened to, and realize that we participate in Him. The Feast of the Ascension is hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.